All right, here we go. Android Headline Show, episode 99. It's a pretty big deal. Next week's going to be 100 episodes. 100 weeks we've been doing this. My name's Jeremiah. I'm joined tonight by Nick and Alex back from MWC. You guys want to say what's up?
What's up, everybody?
How's it going?
So, yeah, Alex, you were traveling last week. Tell us a little bit about MWC, just being there live.
Like, it's tiring. Because, I mean, well, like, Sunday you're running all over Barcelona, and, you know, if that were here in Detroit, it wouldn't be a big deal, but it's, you know, it's a different country I've never been to that I'm running all over, trying to get to all these press conferences. But once the show starts, it's really not that bad. Like, after Monday. Sunday and Monday were really the... They're really busy days, because Sunday you had LG, HTC, Samsung, and then Pepcom all back to back to back.
Yep. So that press day particularly was just totally nuts for you?
Yep, but at least I brought back the warm weather.
You did. and you held it down for us over there, too.
Fortunately.
Yeah, Nick, for you, I know it's... You know, Nick's in Florida. It's already 90 degrees down there. Alex and I are a little bit north of him, so we're enjoying, you know, having it 60 degrees, 65 degrees.
The only thing is, like, all the snow's melting, so now it's like so muddy everywhere.
Yep.
I'm not in Boston because they're going to be flooded. Like, all their streets.
We're doing some of those crazy snow drifts.
All their streets are one way because the snow banks are just so big. They can't, you know, use the entire streets now.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Well, yeah, thanks for bringing that warm weather back with you from Barcelona. But tell us about some new news stuff that happened this week.
Well, Google went ahead and opened up their own physical store instead of, they've done, like, Samsung for a while where they've had, like, a little, like, corner in Best Buy. We've got all the Google stuff, like the Chromebooks. I think the Nexus 5 and 6 are there. I'm not quite sure, but the Chromecast is also there. Now they have an actual store, kind of like the Apple Store over in London. And I think we're going to make Tom go and check it out since he's over there. But I hope they bring this over to the U.S. because for us, this is, like, you know, a toy store.
So what are they displaying? Like, what's the point of the store? What's the goal?
They're displaying everything. I mean, Android smartphones, tablets, Android Wear. I'm sure they'll put in, you know, their Chromebooks. The Pixel 2 will probably also be there. Chromecast, you know. But right now the focus is on Android.
Okay, so just, you know, all their Android phones, Nexus devices, and...
Yeah. I'm sure they'll have more than just Nexus, though, because it says Android smartphones, so I'm guessing, you know, probably, like, the S6, the M9, you know, probably all the flagships, too.
So are they selling stuff as well, or just display and having, you know, employees on hand to answer questions and...
I don't see why they wouldn't sell it, but according to Tom's article here, it looks like... The featured displays with all that stuff and show off their online services in a physical manner. I mean, he doesn't say that they will be selling it, but I don't see why not.
Yeah, and I guess it depends on the phones and what partnerships they've worked out, what phones they're going to have on display. And interesting. Yeah, I definitely hope they bring that over here. We'll have to make sure that Tom gets in to check that out, get some pictures for us. And
I wonder if the Google Slide is there.
Great question. So what else happened this week?
Android 5.1 finally became official, I guess is the word for it, because we've seen it on Android 1 for quite a while, I think dating back to, like, January, maybe even December. But Google finally announced it on Monday, basically right after Apple finished their event, with their $17,000 Apple Watch. There's not a whole lot that's new. I flashed it on my Nexus 6 last night. I haven't had a chance to really play with it much. But a lot of the new stuff, it seems like it's for Android 1, like the multi or the dual SIM support, which is popular in emerging markets, which is where Android 1 is at. There's a ton of tweaks. Like for instance, if you hit the volume down, you know, you got non-priority and all. There's icons there too now, so if you get like the you know, the star for priority, and then it says priority as well. They didn't bring back silent mode though, which a lot of people aren't happy about. But
there's still no mute.
Yep. I mean, priority mode pretty much works the same way.
Yeah, put it on none, you won't get anything. That's usually what I do.
Well, I put it on priority because I want my alarm.
Yeah, I mean, like for this, I have it on none now because...
Yeah, mine is on none.
Calls, I'm not going to answer it.
But that's been an issue for some people. You put it on none and it's literally none. There's no no alarms, nothing. Yep. So,
no LED. No way to even tell anybody's call. The screen doesn't turn on. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, you don't have LED on the Nexus 6 anyway, so that doesn't bother me.
yeah. But yeah, and this is really, you know, a point release. It's bug fixes and tweaks and
there's a few new APIs as well. So like I forget the name of their app, but Sprint has like an app that's in like all their phones that will update. I don't even remember what the name of the thing is, but basically like reconnect your phone to their network. So now there's an API that will help carriers with that, so you can put the app in the Play Store, which is probably primarily for the Nexus 6, so you can download it from the Play Store and connect to their network.
Nice. Okay. Yep. And that might, we'll see, might have something to do with Google's upcoming MVNO, too, that they're running just off the Nexus 6, because it's Sprint and T-Mobile that they're supposedly going to be able to like automatically switch between Sprint and T-Mobile. Yep. So that might have something to do with that too.
Yeah, and there's some interesting feature. If you go under networks, there's a new toggle that says something like enhanced LTE network options or something like that. And it seems like it's basically for like voice over LTE support, maybe for that switching over thing. It's not very specific.
Right now it works mostly for Verizon with the simultaneous voice and data.
Yeah.
But it should do via LTE as well. And then 5.1, you also have Verizon backup pre-installed even on phones without the Verizon SIM. Because mine doesn't have any SIM, so it shouldn't have any bloatware, but it has Verizon's backup.
Unfortunate.
You don't see it in the app drawer, and you can't disable it unless you root, but it's there.
Interesting that it would be on the device, you know, show up in your list of apps, but not be in the app drawer.
I think it like activates when you put in a Verizon SIM, because if I put in my T-Mobile SIM, it'll automatically, once it boots up, download the T-Mobile My account, but that's it, nothing else. I don't know what the Verizon Nexus 6 is going to have pre-installed. That went live but this morning, and I think it'll be in store next week, so nobody really knows.
Yep, at least their backup app, because that's showing up on...
I'm sure it'll probably be at least that, and probably their account thing. I forget what they call it, but Verizon's account like manager app.
I think it's just called My Verizon.
Yeah, I think that's it. I wonder if Amazon will be on there, because you know they have that deal with Amazon, so all Amazon's apps are on like every one of their devices, including their app store.
Could be. I know 5.1 also brought support for HD voice calls with compatible devices. So like a Nexus 6 to a Nexus 6, any of the phones on T-Mobile that support HD voice, you got that now built in.
And this should be just about every T-Mobile device, really.
And moving forward, that'll be in pretty much everything.
Yep.
Especially as VoLTE rolls out and those upgrades happen. So. But yeah, I mean, it's. I was really hoping that they would fix the volume issues that people have been having, just pulling out those settings and changing the way, you know, priority and none and kind of the way those were handled, but it is what it is. The other stuff should run more smoothly, you know, squash some bugs and tweak some things here and there.
Yeah, what's particularly interesting is there has been a huge memory leak issue in Lollipop for a couple of phones out there, Nexus 4, Nexus 5, and it does not seem like they fixed it. I know a couple of people I know that have those that have updated to 5.1 say that it's a little bit better. There's a little bit less redraws, but they're still there.
Interesting.
I know that the Nexus 6 is now using all four cores, so yes, that performance is better. Yep. I don't know, it's been a while since I've really used it, the Nexus 6, like, full time, but it doesn't seem like there's much of a difference to me.
Yeah, it's probably one of those things if you use certain apps.
As you see in System Monitor, all four are going right now.
Yep.
I'm curious to see how that impacts battery, too.
Yeah, that too.
It'll be a big thing.
They killed another thing that basically ramps up the different cores to be the same speed as the other ones, so that's supposed to help with battery as well. So it seems like what they've done should basically even out. It should be about the same. Slightly better performance, about the same battery life.
Cool. And battery life wasn't terribly bad on the Nexus 6 anyway, so.
Nah.
It was about average. It wasn't impressive, but it wasn't completely terrible.
Right. Anything else new in 5.1?
I think that's...
Nothing else I can think of on the top of my head.
Nothing we've found yet, but there's a lot of under-the-hood crap that I'm sure will be picked up. I know there's that possible VPN that Google's doing and a lot of hidden stuff that I'm sure over the next week or so people will find.
Yeah, so, there's a new, like some of the settings screens have changed. The about screen and the like system update screens and some of that stuff has been tweaked a little bit too. So.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's exciting. We'll be getting Lollipop on most other devices here pretty shortly if you're still running stock. But Google's already pushing out some fixes. So, Nick, talk to us about some hardware stuff.
All right. So, there's been a rumor for a little while now, not too long, but that there's going to be more than one Nexus phone this year. And the rumor is that Huawei is going to be making the first Nexus. So, I don't know if we're going to see this around like maybe Google I.O. time frame. I would assume maybe they're going to shoot for like a late spring, early summer, and then maybe like a late fall, early winter kind of dual time frame here. But as far as the Huawei Nexus goes, we're kind of expecting them to use their own processor. So if you've ever used a Huawei phone, it's probably powered by their Kirin processors. And they've been really ramping up their production. They're trying to sell to other companies now. They've basically been ramping up their business quite a bit on the processor front. And in terms of just actual production quality, the amount of things that they can get out, it seems like they're right up there with Qualcomm and Samsung in terms of volume and all that other stuff. The system that it looks like it might use is the 930, which is going to be an upgrade over the 925 that's found in the Honor 6 Plus. The 930 is found in... What is it, the MediaPad X2? Is that the name of it?
I think so. I think that's the newest.
I think it's the MediaPad X2. Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's a 64-bit, 2 gigahertz octa-core processor. And that's a big little. It's got a 16 nanometer, so it's right around with Samsung's newest Exynos 7420 that's in the Galaxy S6. So, we're talking super top of the line kind of thing. Basically, the other reason that people are thinking they're going to be using Kirin is because the Nexus 6 is supposed to have a touch sensor on the back where the little Motorola dimple is. That basically got scrapped for a number of reasons. Basically, Qualcomm couldn't get the parts, etc. Huawei already uses a touch sensor in a couple of their other phones. I think the one you reviewed, the what was it, the Honor 7? Which is the one you reviewed?
The Honor 7.
The Ascend Mate 7.
Yeah, the Mate 7.
The Ascend Mate 7, sorry. Yeah. So that has the touch sensor in it. And basically it's thought that they're going to use either that or maybe an upgraded version of that, since they've already got all this stuff built in. They got the supply lines. They have all that. So if Google wants to push the touch sensor, this is probably an easy way to go. Plus, it's a win-win for Huawei. They get to finally re-enter the U.S. market in the way that they want to. They get, you know, better branding because of the Nexus. You know, this is exactly what happened with LG. LG didn't have a really strong brand over here. They made the Nexus 4 and Nexus 5, and that really ramped them up considerably. And then, of course, Google gets some cost savings, too, with that Kirin.
With the touch sensor for the fingerprint, Qualcomm actually has it because they're showcasing it at World Congress. It's going to be on the 810 and pretty much everything higher than that. The 820 is the one I'm really looking forward to.
Yep, and it's the same company, too, that Huawei uses. So yep. I mean, anything's possible. They could still use the 810 in the next Nexus. There's certainly no guarantee, but I think the idea was just that Huawei's already got this stuff going. They've got the supply lines. They can do this. And so that's
the possibility. Yeah, Qualcomm's fingerprint, like the, was it Sense ID? Something like that. That thing, it's really awesome. It actually works like better if you have like, you know, water on your fingers or lotion or anything like that, because it uses the, was it the Soundwaves Ultra Soundwaves or something like that? I can't remember exactly what it was. Yeah. So many briefings. But it looks exactly really awesome. I mean, it uses so little space. They can even put it like under the screen. So like you have your soft key home button.
Yeah.
You can actually put it right there. So you don't have like, you know, a physical home button that's also your fingerprint scanner. Because it, like when you're using the fingerprint scanner, you can't use that part of the screen. So when I was talking with them, like the home button would be a great idea, and they're actually thinking about using that now.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet to see. And I mean, since they're using the same company, I would assume that Huawei would be able to get the same, you know, fingerprint scanners and under the screen stuff too. So I don't know, whatever, we'll see. But that is the rumor for now. We should maybe see a new Nexus in another couple of months.
I think we will see one pretty soon because they don't have a 64-bit Nexus smartphone.
Yep, and today they just dropped the Nexus 5 completely. You can't buy it at all on the Google Play Store. You could still buy it in some retail outlets, and I'm sure eBay and whatever, but they are officially no longer selling it, which tells me there's something else on the way.
So Huawei's making one, so the rumors say, and the other one is coming from...
maybe LG.
Yep, okay.
So that'd be the third one by them. So that'd be real interesting.
It's interesting too because everybody's gotten two. Well, unless you don't count the HTC G1, you know, back in the day. A lot of people are counting that. I don't count it, but because Motorola's only gotten one, you know.
Yep.
Besides HTC, they're the only one that's only gotten to do one because LG and Samsung both did two.
And that might be a time thing. Lenovo doesn't have enough time to ramp it up. To make one this year.
What would be sweet is if we got a Lenovo, like one of their Vibe handsets has a Nexus.
Yes, that would be excellent.
Because they have a phone that's got like a 6,000 milliamp battery inside. Just insane.
I would not be surprised to see that happen next year. Completely just guessing, you know? No information to really go on but to make that assumption. But I wouldn't be surprised if that happened next year.
Yeah.
I will be excited because I got my first hands on with the Vibe. I forget which one it was, but also with the Vibe Shot at MWC. Man, those are some really good smartphones. But we will never see them here other than at trade shows.
Yep. Unfortunately. So what else, Nick?
We have the Chromebook Pixel 2. Which I think has been expected. There's been rumors for a couple
about
of weeks now.
About a year.
Well, yeah, I guess about a year. But
because the old one came out about 2 years ago, like this week. So we've been hearing rumors since this time last year.
Yeah. So this is basically the same body as the old one, but there's some significant under-the-hood improvements, including, I guess the original one had a bit of a problem with overheating, got super, super hot on the bottom, and that had to do with two things. There was only one fan inside. This one now has two, so you have a nice symmetric design with fans on both sides, so much better ventilation. And the newer Intel processors, this features the newest i7 out there from Intel. And this thing has the Southbridge built into the actual unit that the chip is on, so you have a nice active cooling on that instead of being a separate, basically not cooled chip at all on the other side of the laptop. So you've got those improvements there. There's four USB 3 Type-C connectors. I think it's 3.1, I'm sorry, Type-C. And those are the new reversible connectors. They work for video. They work for all kinds of things. Basically, the USB, you know, be-all, do-all kind of thing.
Actually, you have two USB-C, and then I think it's either two more for USB, just regular USB 3.0.
Yeah, and connectors. They put them both on either side, too, which is great. So you have, it's a 12.85-inch, 2560 by 1700 display. So it's a really, really nice display.
Yeah, it's the same display as the last one, which is really nice.
Yep.
And
exactly.
That's the reason to change it.
Yeah, it's still touchscreen. The hardware is what's really interesting. Not just because of the processor upgrade, but because they are packing this thing to the gills with RAM. And I know we've made plenty of jokes about Chrome being a total RAM hog, but the base model comes with 32 gigs of internal storage and 8 gigs of RAM. And you can get an upgraded model with 64 gigs of internal storage and 16 gigs of RAM. So if you want to run Chrome at its best, this is probably the best way you're ever going
to
find it.
If you want to see Chrome without lag, get the 16.
at least for an hour.
Yeah. Battery life is what, I think, 10 to 12 hours, they said? I don't remember.
Yeah, it's rated at 12 hours.
Well, and usually with the Chromebooks, when they say, like, 12 hours, it's usually longer than that from what I've had. Especially Acer and Dell.
Chrome OS is pretty light compared to Windows and others. So
well, Chrome OS is lighter than just Chrome.
Yeah.
It's weird.
No, it's a very well-made OS. It does what it does very well. Just the changes they made are nice because they were very, very needed changes over the original model, but they didn't break what people liked about the original. So if you really like the idea of having a super premium Chromebook, this one's actually a little bit cheaper at $1,000 for the base model, which, you know, compared to most Chromebooks, it's pretty astronomical. But,
yeah.
You know, if this is your thing, it's your thing. I don't know if I'd put Windows on it, you probably don't have enough space.
Aren't there two different processors too? The base models an i5 and the upgraded model for as like $1,299 is the new i7.
It's the i7, yes.
Okay.
Yep. I mean i5 is still plenty because i3 is plenty.
Right.
Yeah,
if
and
you
this
don't
is
want a Chromebook Pixel. I mean, Dell has a few really nice ones. Acer, well, they're always coming out with a new one like every month. Asus,
yeah.
HP, pretty much everybody. But Dell and Acer would be the ones I would recommend next.
Yeah, and these are the fifth generation i5 and i7s too. So, yep. You know, you're talking significant performance gains over the fourth generation and so on. So you got plenty of horsepower here, no doubt.
I saw a really cool video of checking, it might have been Marquise Brownlee. I don't remember where I saw it, but the how you check the battery life when the thing is closed, you just knock on the top. So
yep.
You give it, I think it's three
I've
knocks.
Seen that a
one,
few places,
two, three,
actually.
And then there's a LED in the front, like just behind the like the clasp on the front, and it lights up across like on the front of Kit in Knight Rider.
Yeah, they had that in the first one, but it didn't really do anything. It was just like, you know, the Google colors of like, was it yellow, red, green, and blue? And it would just light up when you're using it. So, like on the MacBooks, you have the Apple logo that lights up when you're using it. On the Pixel, that would light up when you're using it. It was nice and subtle, but still awesome. But, you know, putting in functions into it, like battery life, that's even cooler.
Yeah, I mean, not like a... It's not... That feature alone is not going to make you run out and spend $1,300 on a Chromebook, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's definitely a niche product still, especially at that price range, but...
Yeah. I still think it's mostly for, like, Google employees, because they don't want them walking around with MacBooks.
Probably.
Even though they still do.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't mind one if I had an extra $1,300 or whatever lying around, but, you know.
The only thing keeping me from
the breaks
full time is photo editing.
Oh, you can use Pixlr in your browser, man. Don't worry about that.
It takes too long when you're doing a batch of them. I need Lightroom.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt to do more than, you know, 5 or 6 photos if you're even just watermarking stuff.
Especially if you're using, like, you know, one of the cheaper Chromebooks. On the Pixel, you're probably fine, though.
Yep. Well, cool. Yeah, that I'm curious to see now, I guess more than ever, what Google gives away at I.O. this year. Yeah. So it'll probably be one of these new Chromebooks, you know?
Pixel LS, heck yeah.
Yep. So, some software and app stuff. We already talked about Android 5.1 and some of the features and functions of that. It's rolling out to basically all the current Nexus devices from the Nexus 4 up. The OTA is being pushed out. So the Nexus 4, the Nexus 5, obviously the 6, the Nexus 10... And
I think the Nexus 9 and 4 are the only ones we haven't seen OTAs yet for.
Okay. Both the Nexus 7s, too? I don't remember about the 2012 Nexus 7.
I think the 2013 LTE hasn't gotten it yet.
Okay.
But I think the HSPA for the 2012 has gotten it, or it's on its way.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen my friends with, I don't remember which Nexus 7 they have, but I don't think they've gotten it yet, but it doesn't mean anything. This is probably a staged rollout like usual.
Yeah. That's why I sideloaded mine.
Yeah, and we've got all those OTAs on the site, so if you have one of these Nexus devices and you haven't gotten the OTA yet, you can go download it and just load it.
It's also rolling yourself out to the rest of the Android One devices, because a lot of them already had it. And I think that's it for rollouts, because I don't... Well, there's still a few Google Play devices out there, isn't there? Google Play Edition.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that bought the M8 Play Edition.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mostly because they want to stock Android on their hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I don't blame them for.
Yeah, on an easy way to do it, too.
Yeah.
And then we got some of the Android One phones as well.
Yep. So that's that.
That haven't already launched it, of course.
Yeah. the other thing this week with software stuff, I thought this was kind of interesting. CyanogenMail has announced their own mail service. So it's called CyanogenMail. They're pushing it out to the OnePlus One, the Micro Max Eureka, and it'll be on the Alcatel One Touch Hero 2 Plus when that rolls out, or when that is released. They'll be pre-installed on those devices and any other CyanogenMail devices moving forward, anything that comes with CyanogenMail OS.
Yep, not CyanogenMail mod, because that's the open source and doesn't have any bloat, I guess you can call this.
Right.
Yeah, more or less.
I'm sure the CyanogenMail email app will still work with those, but...
Well, it's not really like... I mean, it's basically a wrapper for the Boxer email app, or Boxer Pro. Because I met with them earlier this week about it, and basically it's a newer version of Boxer Pro. So you've got the Material Design version of it, which isn't currently available on Google Play, but it will be, you know, later on. Basically, CyanogenMail's got kind of like exclusive rights for a little bit, but not really. There's also a few others. There's all kinds of customizations with, like, the gestures. So you can, you know, you can swipe left and right to do different things, but you can assign what each gesture does, which you can't do in the regular Boxer Pro app. This isn't really to replace Gmail. It's basically for, it's more for Exchange, you know, all those corporate accounts, because like the AOSP email app doesn't really work super well. But that's basically what this is for, and that's why they partnered with Boxer for it.
Yeah, and I'm definitely looking forward to getting this on my work phone, because I run CM12 on that, and as much as I like the AOSP email app, it definitely has its issues. It's better than the Outlook client that Microsoft released, though.
I haven't actually used the like the regular email app since I started here, because I haven't had an Exchange account since then, just Gmail, so.
You know what's really funny about that, and I don't know if this is a Spanagen problem or what it is, but this stupid AOSP email app is like half material themed. There's mm-hmm. no tinted status bar. It's like your usual Google job, I guess.
that's probably Google with this.
I mean, probably I don't know. Google.
But yeah.
It's annoying. So, you know, give me a nicer material design app that looks the same and works better, and I'll be very happy. Thank you.
And that,
yeah,
that,
and that's what was interesting to me about this is it supports Gmail everything. And Exchange and basically everything else. So
yeah.
Perfect.
If you're using Inbox, you know, Inbox supports that other stuff, but Google Inbox, you still got to get an invite for. It's not open to everybody yet. Whereas this, you just have to have Boxer Pro.
So, well, you know, well, I mean, I guess kind of you do. But CyanogenMD users will get Boxer, basically Boxer Pro for free.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, and the
updated material design app and everything. I don't remember what the cost is for Boxer Pro, but the biggest feature for Boxer Pro is the fact that you can do multiple accounts.
Yep.
Compared to the free version.
I'm looking it up right now. See how much Boxer Pro costs.
It's a really nice app from what I've seen of it, because I don't have a CyanogenMD device with me.
Let's take a look.
Play Store. The app on the Play Store is free to install. It's got in-app purchases.
Okay, that's where it is.
You know, every time I go to Google Play now, it screws me up, because now it has the search bar up top that looks like Google Now, and I always think I go to the wrong app.
Yep, yeah, got the search bar up top now.
It's been throwing me off for a while now.
So, the Pro version offers multi-account support, so you got to get Pro to use more than one account. You also have to have Pro to use Exchange support. So the regular Boxer app will support one account from anything like Outlook, Yahoo, Gmail, etc.
But Exchange.
Yeah, but if you want to roll your own or use Exchange or have more than one account, you got to buy it. It doesn't say how much it is. It's probably like $5 or something. I'm not seeing how much it is on there. It's not listed on the Play Store listing. But yeah, so sounds like you'll get that free if you've got a CyanogenMD OS device.
It doesn't sound, well, from what I was told by them, it's not going to work with, or it's not going to come with CyanogenMD. I don't know if it's going to be baked in where you can't just pull the APK and do it or what. I mean, because technically it's going to be proprietary, so.
It could be like some of the other stuff that they ship where you have to have libs and certain things that only work with certain hardware. I don't know how they're going to protect this from, I guess, regular pirating, but how can anybody? So I suppose so it's whatever.
Well, Boxer can on the server side, so you can install the CyanogenMD app, but it won't have the Pro functionality unless you're paying for it, and Boxer, you know, authenticates it on the server side.
On the Play Store, Boxer, it says in-app purchases are $9.99 to $14.99, so it's not really cheap.
Oh, right, $10 to $15. Okay, I missed that.
Yeah, it's all the way at the bottom, but I couldn't find it anywhere in the description, so there it was.
Yep.
But yeah, you can all, I mean, some of the other features with this is really cool, where you've got integrated task management. You also can integrate other apps like Evernote, Box, Dropbox, Google Drive. You know, everything is right there.
for email attachments and different kind of things.
Yep.
And it's one of the ways that
the OTA for that for the OnePlus One and the Eureka should be out. I think they said in the next few weeks.
Yep.
Okay. That's good. And that's one of the this is one of the other ways that just one of the I guess ways that Cyanogen is continuing to try and differentiate themselves, kind of distance themselves from Google's apps a little bit, setting up partnerships with other companies that they don't necessarily have to build their own email app and have their own Exchange server support and stuff like that. They can partner with this other company, tap into a few million Cyanogen users and offer a cool service.
I have to say I really like the direction they're going in. I definitely was not sure about it a few months ago, but the more they start doing this kind of stuff, the more it really feels like they're working towards making a better version of Android rather than just making an alternative version for the sake of having an alternative version.
Right. And you're absolutely right. This is the kind of thing that they're going to have to do to find ways to make money too. They're differentiating themselves in ways that are helpful to users. And we were all kind of wondering how they were going to do that.
Yes.
When they first formed Cyanogen Inc. And they're going,
Microsoft.
Hey, we got $24 million in funding, yada yada, but we're not really focused on a business plan. We're not focused on being profitable right now. And we're all kind of scratching our heads, wondering.
They're just focused on the CEO talking about Samsung can't make an OS to save their life and stuff like that.
keep that talk up. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's like John Ledger of software.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I want to put him and John Ledger in a room with, get a couple beers in them and just let them talk.
I want to get John Ledger and the other three carrier CEOs in a room and do that. And see who walks out.
Pile of boxing gloves on the table and just let them go at it.
There you go.
So what's new in your Android world? Anything cool this week?
I have some Galaxy S6 cases, but no Galaxy S6.
Yeah, you said that earlier. You had like 5 or 6 cases and still no phone.
I have like 8 from Verus. They sent a bunch of them. So I've pretty much got everything that they've made for the S6. So once you finally get the S6, which should be probably early April or maybe March. I don't know if we get it before the launch or not. But it launches April 10th. So have lots of reviews coming up when that launches, because there's going to be a lot of cases for that phone. Same thing with the Edge.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I think I read that the pre-orders on that were like
20 million in the first week.
Yeah, it was like 15 million S6s and 5 million S6 Edges.
What I'm wondering, though, is the U.S. carriers are doing the pre-registration for information. Are they counting that or actual people,
The 20 million was just from carriers worldwide. So whatever carriers have actually placed orders with Samsung, that's all that counts. So I'm sure there will be other pre-orders outside of that. But I guess it just depends on where you get them from. This is all carriers, though, at this point. But that's a substantial number.
And the carriers are going by the pre-registration stuff, which is nobody's going to accurate, but we'll see what happens with that. I just hope that they bring all the colors to the carriers here, because that green one looks hot.
Yeah, how about the Avengers one?
Yeah.
Well, that one's not real.
Oh, it's not? Okay, I saw pictures of that, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Those aren't real. Sick. Those are, like, concepts.
I figured they would be real because of their Avengers thing at the CES.
I was thinking it was real too, and then I'm like, saw that it was just a render. I'm like, oh man.
Now I'm slightly upset, but I wasn't gonna buy one anyway, so whatever.
But the green and blue ones, man, those look nice.
The Hulk one. Oh.
the emerald green S6 Edge is outstanding.
The lighting at Samsung's booth on the press area of it. the green one, it actually looks black until you, like, pick it up. Like, if you look at it from the back, it looks black.
It's hot.
But then when you pick it up, like, it took me forever to get a good picture of the actual green of it. Like, I think it took me, like, 20 tries, because I just couldn't get actual green. It just looked black.
Right. That's, yeah. I love it. Good job, Samsung. You made, I just said, I love the idea of something that you've done with one of your phones.
Yes.
That might be first. I'm still playing with the Moto E, which that reveal will be going up this week.
Yeah, you said that thing's got, like, monstrous battery life.
Just I'm sitting at, like, 18% right now, and 6.5 hours on screen time, and it's almost at, like, 2 days off the charger. A day, 14 hours. Almost 15. So, yeah, it's crazy.
That'll get the job done.
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Nick? Anything new?
I have the Meizu M1 Note, which so far is an amazing phone. I've been using it for about a week now. And I have to say, this is bar none the best $200 phone I've ever used. It absolutely kills it in everything. I think the only thing I'm disappointed with is the sound output. I have it over there. I forgot to bring it with me, but whatever. It's sitting over in my little Lightroom thing. But
what color did they send you?
White.
Ah, lame.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I could give me like the blue or something more interesting.
Oh, they had the blue, yellow. I think there's a pink one, or maybe it's like you know, salmon or something. But and they basically got all the iPhone 5C colors, and they gave us the back of the iPhone 5C as a gift for that event.
Nice.
I like it. So yeah, I'm very happy with it. I'm gonna wrap up the review here in a day or two, and should go up this weekend.
Yeah, and we've got an unboxing for that I got to finish editing, and I just got it uploaded to the YouTube channel, so.
Sweet.
I'm going to finish get it edited and get it uploaded tonight.
Me like.
I really don't have a whole lot this week. I found a new watch face that I've been in love with. It's called, where is it? Called InstaWeather. And so I'm going to try and show off.
Yes, that one is awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
I think I've seen it, but I'm not quite sure.
I think it only looks good on the square watches, though.
Well, the demo, they've got it on, and I don't know how well you'll be able to see this, a round face. But, I mean, I've got a G watch, so it's square. So, with the update to 5.0 on the watches, it changed the way some of the watch faces interacted with cards. The cards would either take up the whole watch face or they just disappeared and you couldn't see them at all. This watch face I really like because it minimizes them at the bottom. You can still pull them up, but it's just right there a little bit at the bottom. You can still see most of the watch face. It's got a lot of helpful information. Battery life's up in the corner. Obviously, the time shows the date and the day, so you know Thursday, 12 March. Sun or moon, I guess, phases, you know, for the time of day, and the weather and the temperature. But then the standby screen also has that, you know, big clock, sun or moon up top, and it actually shows like a chart, like a line with the temperature for the day, so you get high and low based on like a 12-hour day. I didn't have the weather. I had built a couple of watch faces in what's the name of that app I was using? Watchmaker.
Or is it Phaser?
Yeah. Phaser. Watchmaker. I was using Watchmaker.
Yeah, that's what I was using before.
But then I found this one and it had everything that I wanted and it so but again it's called InstaWeather.
Yep.
Like Instagram, but InstaWeather. There's a couple other ones. Like
eight different faces, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, so there's a bunch that you can pick from, and there's a pro version that adds a whole bunch more. But this is the one that I liked. I downloaded a couple other ones, that I liked okay as well, but this one I've been using this week.
I found a bunch of like Matera Design watch faces. I can't really show them because I haven't used my Moto 360 since I got back from Barcelona, so it's dead. But I can't think of the name of them, but they look really nice. They're like, it's basically the same watch face, but they have different, you know, like colors for the font and stuff like that.
There's a ton of really nice stuff out there. You know, yeah. With 5.0 opened up, you know, official watch faces in it.
Yeah.
There's some really fantastic watch faces.
Motorola's, like, their stock watch faces. A lot of them are really nice still, I think, but, you know, there's more out there to check out.
Well, cool. That'll do it for the Android Headlines Show, episode 99. You can find us on Twitter, at Android Headline. On Instagram, same place, Android Headline. On iTunes, go rate us on iTunes. Drop us a nice comment. Drop us a mean comment. Tell us what you had for lunch today. Just give us 5 stars. We would appreciate it. Helps us out. Nick, Alex, thanks for hanging out tonight, guys. It's always a good time.
Yep. See everybody next week.
Absolutely. Later.